Text, the following program contains disturbing accounts of violence and sexual abuse involving minors, which may be triggering for some viewers. Viewer discretion is advised. The following is based on a true story. A Lifetime original movie. A timer is set to 90 seconds. A gun lies on the table. A police officer holds up a gun as he proceeds into the room. Title, The 13th Wife, Escaping Polygamy Part 1. A mounted deer head hangs on the wall. Clouds drift through the twilight sky. The sun shines on a steeple, which stands in silhouette. A train passes by a rocky river. A man walks, holding a gun. Someone places a piece of flimsy furniture next to a limp body. A red plastic cup lies next to the body's legs. There's a sign for a gun store. At night, one person chases another around a car. In daylight, there's a chalk outline of a body on asphalt. A gun fires. There's a picture of Jesus and the disciples at the cross. Guns lie stacked in a row. On a road, a woman in a blue dress points a gun at another woman. A gun fires. A car explodes. A table lies set for dinner. A vintage radio is on a roll-top desk. A middle-aged blonde woman is digging in the dirt. She looks up. She's wearing earbuds. A gray-haired man approaches the garden. Clothes hang on a line. They're in a remote area.
Rena? Rena, honey.
He taps her shoulder.
Oh, hi. Oh, can you,
She removes the earbud.
Yeah, can you come inside for a minute? Something you need to see.
What is... You're scaring me. What?
Well,
John, just tell me.
You need to see this.
John brings her inside the house, to the living room, and hits a button on his laptop.
Three women and six children have been killed in an ambush by a group of gunmen in Sonora, Mexico. All nine were extended members of the LeBaron family. Police say that gunmen opened fire on the three-car convoy, firing over 200 rounds at the women and children, eventually setting fire to the vehicles. The LeBarons are part of a breakaway Mormon community that moved to Mexico decades ago to create a sanctuary for polygamy.
This is 1,000 miles away. It's got nothing to do with us.
Rena's sitting. She perks up at the sound.
Are you expecting company?
No.
Close the curtains.
She runs.
Rena, just slow down.
Rena opens a panel under the stairs. She grabs a gun. A woman's approaching the house.
Relax, Rena, I've got it.
Rena ducks behind a corner.
Shh.
Who are you?
Hi, my name is Josie Ortez, and I'm with the Houston Record.
Rena blinks rapidly. A man, standing behind her, helps her aim the gun. In reality, she stands alone.
I was hoping for an interview.
Rena shudders.
Well, you got the wrong house.
I'm looking for Rena Chenoweth, the widow of Ervil LeBaron, the Mormon Manson.
What?
Trembling, Rena slumps to the ground.
Well, there's no Rena Chenoweth here.
Miss Chenoweth, please, I'd just like to ask you a few questions.
If you know who I am, then you know I don't talk to reporters.
Considering what happened yesterday in Mexico, it's important, don't you think?
I've never given an interview and I don't plan on starting today. Please leave.
Maybe this'll change your mind.
Josie holds a booklet up to the door's glass window.
It's the Book of the New Covenant.
Rena stands. Still holding the gun, she approaches the door. Josie passes the booklet through the doorway. John hands it to Rena, who flips through the papers.
How do you have this?
I got it from the FBI. I had some connections that helped. My mother and I immigrated here from Chihuahua when I was young. The LeBarons tried to recruit us many times.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I'm not the person that you should talk to.
Out of all the names in this book, you were one of the only people who survived. You understand the LeBaron history of violence.
Bending down, Rena shakes her head.
Let me see some ID and let me check your bag.
Josie passes the bag to him. He pats Rena's shoulder.
I think your story could help a lot of people.
Why should I talk to you? Why should I trust you?
Because I know a little bit about it. My father, he wasn't a good man. I was raised in a polygamous community, too. My mother was one of three wives.
Rena turns to look at her.
Him. We managed to get away from him, but the pain, it never completely goes away. Does it?
Rena watches Josie through the glass.
Rena.
She draws the curtain.
She checks out.
John stuffs Josie's ID back in the bag. Rena covers her forehead with her hand. John purses his lips.
You can do it.
She puts a hand on the doorknob, then stops.
People think I'm a monster for the things I've done.
John waves Josie inside. They stand near a table and chairs.
If we're gonna do this, there have to be some ground rules.
Rena waves her index finger.
No photos. No mention of this house or its location. He doesn't exist in your article or in your notes. No recording.
Josie nods.
You write everything down. When I say the interview is over, it's over.
Of course.
Rena sits. Josie walks into the room, looking around. John closes the laptop. He crouches beside Rena.
Do you need anything?
No. I'm okay.
She's doubled over.
I promise.
Okay.
He takes the gun from her. She reaches out to him. He pats her shoulder and stands.
Where do you want to start?
John leaves the room.
What was your life like before your family met the LeBarons?
A sheet forms a gauzy canopy. A girl lies on a pile of pillows and toys, playing with two dolls. One doll is headless. The girl wears a plaid jumper.
Jesus loves me, of course.
Where are my collar stays?
In your front pocket.
They are not.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Morning.
Morning.
Morning, Dad.
Morning.
Sorry.
The brother puts down a rack of drinking glasses. The parents and two older siblings sit at the breakfast table. The father fiddles with his collar.
Rena? Rena!
Every time.
Rena dances into the room, wearing a red cloth over her head.
What on God's green earth is that?
A veil. I'm a bride.
Take it off. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for providing sustenance that we may fulfill thy will on earth. May we be worthy of thy grace and love.
He peers at Rena, who glances at him and looks down.
In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
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 At the front door.
Bud, I need some more money.
I just gave you $20. What did you spend it on?
Lorna's field trip, and I had to buy Rena's
clothes. Ah, I'm late.
Rena's watching. The cloth's on her head.
But even I could tell my parents weren't exactly happy.
And why do you think that was?
Doing the dishes, the mother sneaks gin.
My father had ambitions to be an important man in the church, so he was always reaching for something. And for my mother, just something seemed to be missing, like there was a little hole in her heart that needed to be filled.
There are three men in suits.
Good morning, ma'am. I'm Joel. These are my brothers Verlin and Ervil. We were wondering if you might have a moment to learn about the Church of the Firstborn of the Fullness of Times.
We're proud members of the LDS Church. We're happy with the way things are. Thank you very much.
My goodness.
One man looks up.
Joel, do you feel that?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Heavenly Father is in this house. He is here right now. He's in these walls. He's in these windows.
He looks at the mother.
And he is in this magnificent woman right here.
She steps back a little.
Heavenly Father has spoken to you?
Yes, he has.
Rena listens.
Our father, Dayer LeBaron, conferred the priesthood mantle to me, given to him by his grandfather, who was ordained by the prophet Joseph Smith.
Noticing Rena.
Well, hello there.
Joel LeBaron was the elder brother and leader of the church, but Ervil was the one who really lit up the room.
Ervil crouches down.
And what's your name?
That's Rena, and I'm Thelma Chenoweth.
Well, hello, Rena. I'm Ervil LeBaron.
Smiling, he reaches out a hand. Their fingers touch.
Oh.
It created a spark.
Well, you know what that means.
Rena and Ervil smile at each other. Later, the family sits around the dinner table.
My mom joined his church secretly, and she brought me and my sister along with her. You know, it was exciting. It was our little secret.
Rena's sister buries her face in her hands, giggling. Bud frowns as they fold their hands to pray. It's April, 1967. In the Chenoweth home, Ervil, Verlin, and Joel sit in a circle with Thelma, Rena, and her siblings.
He will ask you to do difficult things. Do you think you have the strength?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Can you feel the importance of what we're doing?
Yes.
Yes.
We are going to change the world and usher in his kingdom.
Yes.
He has elected you
to do his bidding. You were chosen before the foundation of time. Before the foundation of the world to be in this precise moment.
It is a great responsibility.
What do you want us to do?
Bring your husband and your son to me. There can be no more secrets.
Ervil smiles.
This family must be united.
They sit in front of a large stone fireplace. Later, Rena and Thelma peer through the window as the men talk with Bud and her brother outside. It's snowy.
What do we do if he says no?
And my dad was resistant at first, but eventually he, you know, converted. And once that happened, there was no turning back. You know, he never did anything halfway. That's just the kind of man he was. Joel, the leader, was persuasive, but Ervil closed the deal.
The men are guests at dinner.
Lorna.
Yes, Dad.
We have been talking, and we think it would be best if you married Ervil.
Ervil turns to look at Lorna, who stares into space. Thelma frowns.
I'm still in high school.
Lorna, I was as stunned as you are. And if it wasn't a direct revelation, I would have never believed it.
It was preordained before the world began.
I'm 17.
Well, not much younger than your mother was.
Thelma smiles and looks down.
But he's like 40. Sorry.
No. Believe me, it's fine.
Lorna, I've prayed on this.
Lorna begins to cry.
I'm worried about your age gap, too. This isn't about romance or earthly lust. God's love.
Ervil shakes his head.
And his wisdom are infinite.
Joel's stroking Lorna's shoulder.
Your marriage is about his love.
I don't know.
Well, Lorna, if it makes you feel better, I also had my doubts. I took solace in my faith and my trust in Heavenly Father.
Joel closes his eyes.
And I want you to know that I would never lead you astray or do anything to hurt you.
Lorna looks to her father. Bud smiles. Lorna opens her mouth, then nods.
I would be an elected lady.
That's right, you're
And that would make me pretty special, right?
Yes, it would.
Lorna walks into the family living room, wearing a wedding dress. Bud takes her hand. After a few steps, she drops her grip. Only the family and the three men from the church are present. Lorna takes Ervil's hand.
Brother Ervil.
They kneel.
Do you take Sister Lorna by the right hand?
They rest their hands on a stool between them.
And receive her unto yourself to be your wife for time and all eternity, with the covenant and promise of keeping and observing all laws, rites, and ordinances of the holy order of matrimony of the new and everlasting covenant. And do you do so before God, angels, and these witnesses, by your own free will and choice?
I do.
My sister, Lorna, became Ervil's fifth wife, and she wouldn't be his last.
Ervil glances at Rena.
So your family just picked up, left everything behind, and went to Mexico? The house, your dad's job?
Yeah.
How did they explain that to you? How did they just do that?
Well, how could they not? I mean, We were told we were the chosen ones. We were called up to Zion. We were the ones that were going to usher in God's kingdom, giving up everything.
She waves a hand.
I mean, we gave up everything. It made us closer to God.
They drive to a remote property.
He himself was leading us there.
It's in Chihuahua, Mexico.
It took us 2 years to sell the house and make the move, and by that time, Lorna had her first child with Ervil, and my parents couldn't wait to meet the grandchild. The family would be together again.
Lorna's at Ervil's side.
Oh, Mama! Missed you.
Welcome to Colonial LeBaron.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, aren't you just a vision?
To Thelma.
Lorna, where is my grandson, baby Aaron?
Your son, welcome to Zion.
Aw.
Keep your heart open. Many blessings will follow.
It's good to see you. We missed you.
Oh, I missed you.
Ervil takes Rena's hand, but let's go.
Hello, Sparky. Oh, everyone, this is Dan Jordan. Dan is a big spirit in God's eyes. There would be no Church of the Firstborn without him. Dan, what do you say we give him the tour?
Rena's brother stands on a grassy lookout. A river cuts through an arid valley. Snow-capped mountains stand behind.
Now, as prophet, Joel is the highest-ranking priestholder in the colony, but as patriarch, it is my duty to oversee the day-to-day, make sure everything is exactly the way he likes it.
Wait, this is our house?
Hold on, Mark. So if we have a problem, we come to you.
That's right.
Okay.
Sorry, this is it?
Just needs a little love, I think.
Lorna leads them into a small, dilapidated wooden building. It's almost totally bare. The family walks in slowly. Ervil gives a tight smile.
I know that this place is not what you expected.
Thelma looks around, open-mouthed.
You left a beautiful home behind.
Lorna is wearing a flowered peasant dress.
We'll make it nice.
Thelma looks to her family. Rena nods. Thelma takes Bud's hand. He squeezes it.
There are some important people I'd like to introduce you to.
Ervil nods.
That might make you feel better about being here. This is Brother Mark Chenoweth.
He pats Mark's shoulder.
And he may not look like it right now, but he's going to be a great leader of our people. A warrior for everything good and decent.
Bud and Thelma smile. Ervil turns to Bud.
And Brother Leland, who will be sought out in our humble church for his great capacity of love and wisdom.
He extends a hand to Lorna.
And my wife, Lorna, who stands by my side and by the side of God. The new world will speak of her self-sacrifice and of her generosity.
Thelma nods.
And then there is the strongest of them all, Sister Thelma Chenoweth.
She takes Ervil's hands.
And she will be a beacon in the dark. By her example of grace and beauty and dignity for all women.
Ervil steps over to Rena, kissing her on the forehead. She nods as he whispers to her. He steps back.
This humble place will be a shrine. Would you do me the honor of praying with me in your home?
Yes.
They join hands in a circle. Thelma places a kitchen implement on a shelf. The kitchen is clean. She crosses to the living area, where Mark and Rena sleep. It's November 1969.
I am a poor, wayfaring stranger. I'm traveling through this world of woe.
She strokes Mark's forehead.
Yet there's no sickness, toil, no danger.
She tucks in Rena.
To that bright land to which I go.
Rena's on a camp bed.
He had this way of making you feel special, like you were part of the most important story ever written. You wanted his light to shine on you.
She presses her fist up to her mouth.
That must sound sort of foolish to you.
No. No, not at all. We're all made of stories. And when someone builds you up like that, it's powerful. It can be blinding. I've experienced it.
At night, Erva looks out at the mountains, nearby buildings, and the moon in the sky.
Over time, Erva convinced my dad to consecrate the family savings to the church. And in exchange, Erva gave Dad his first plural wife. Celestial marriage was essential to salvation, so my dad was completely on board.
As a woman is led through the church, she says, in Spanish, I don't even know this man. Bud is kneeling at the front of the church, and Erva stands behind him.
What did she say?
Oh, she just said how handsome you are. Sister, if you could just kneel here, please.
Yes.
Thank you. Brother Bud, Sister Naomi, if you could please take each other by the hand in the patriarchal grip.
Thelma and Lorna stand together. Thelma's face is neutral.
Brother Bud, do you take Sister Naomi by the right hand to receive unto yourself as your wife for time and all eternity in the new and everlasting covenant?
I do.
A member notices Joel outside, watching the church.
Mama, can I ask you something? How do you feel? Your first sister wife.
Erval.
Very blessed.
You need to step outside.
Erval smiles.
All right, everyone. Congratulations again on this incredible blessing.
Naomi hugs an older woman. As the church member watches, Erval confronts Joel outside.
What do you think you're doing?
The Lord's work, brother.
I forbade it. You were not to perform that ceremony. That girl is already married.
Heavenly Father called on me to release her from her false marriage and seal her to Brother Bud. This was very difficult for me, Joel. I prayed on this all last night, but my loyalty to you was in conflict with my loyalty to God, so what was I to do? What would you have done?
You cannot defy my authority. I won't tolerate it.
Rena's watching.
I am Heavenly Father's hand. That girl is already married.
Forgive me, brother, and please don't be angry with me. It breaks my heart.
I'm warning you.
They're on a grassy hill.
I'm warning you, Erval.
Erval watches him leave.
I wish we could pray on this together, brother.
The church member watches from the porch.
We could all tell there was bad blood developing between Joel and Erval.
The cracks were starting to show.
Yeah, but, you know, Erval crossed the line, but we just didn't know how bad it was going to get.
At night, a group of women carry lanterns.
Dan woke us up one night, and there was a secret meeting at the church for women only, and we didn't even have time to get dressed.
Heavenly Father has spoken to me.
The women sit in the pews.
And he said he will soon rid the world of those who hold back the kingdom of God. But not all men will have the courage to do what is needed. That is why we must have the strength to walk with God and enact His mercy. Now, as patriarch, it is my duty to uphold the civil laws and commandments here, but as mothers, you know how hard it is to enforce rules without consequences, right? And you know who else knew that?
He looks around the room.
Brigham Young and Joseph Smith. They knew that the law of liberty could never be achieved without consequences. And this is difficult, as it was for them. That meant the shedding of blood when God called for it. Now, the Ten Commandments are clear. Thou shalt not kill. But what about those sinners who cannot be saved through baptism?
He bites his lip.
Their only path to salvation lay in blood atonement.
Present day Rena hugs herself.
Through the blood of the sinner, the path to mercy is revealed. So why then would we be afraid? The body must give way in order for the spirit to live.
We were used to Erval's talk of what God wanted us to do. This was different. He was asking us to cross into this new place entirely.
Ervil smiles at the women. In the present, Rena shifts in her armchair.
And what about you? When did Ervil cross the line with you?
What?
Josie watches Rena.
I think we should stop right there.
She gets up from the armchair, putting her throw pillow down.
My dad, he had a name for it. Hide and seek.
Rena stops in the hall. She turns back to the living room.
He pretended it was this fun game, something we could do together. It wasn't a game.
Rena goes into the living room.
We can stop if you want.
Josie puts her notebook on the table.
No. No. It's just not easy.
Rena sits across from her.
You know about that.
On a sunny day, young Rena walks into the church, where Ervil is seated in the front row. She takes a spot in the opposite pew.
You here to talk to God?
No. To you.
To me?
I saw you and Joel fighting.
And you came here to see if I was all right?
Yeah.
Ervil smiles.
You know, Sparky, there are a lot of people I am responsible for. But you might just be the best friend I have here. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a surprise for you. Come on.
Where?
Shopping.
She grins. He takes her to a room full of clothes and knickknacks.
This is all yours?
Well, I'm in charge of distributing it how I see fit, so, yes.
So, when you say shopping...
I mean, you can pick out anything you like.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
She looks around the room, smiling, and bends over a pile of toys. Ervil watches her go through the box. She picks up a toy gun. Rena whirls around and goes to a shelf. She stands by a rack of clothing, flipping through outfits. Ervil slowly walks over. He goes to a clothing rack and holds up a pair of jeans.
Oh, now, here. I think these are just the thing.
I don't know.
Really?
He examines the jeans.
Come on, why don't you try them on? Here.
She takes the jeans and looks around.
Is there someone I can change?
Nothing wrong with right here.
Rena bites her lip.
I don't know.
No, there's no need to be shy, right? We are friends.
She doesn't look at him. Ervil crouches down.
Rena, we are in Heavenly Father's kingdom. He's here with us right now. And we are surrounded by his love. So nothing bad can happen here, you understand? He wouldn't allow it.
He stands.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Dolls sit on a shelf.
'Cause the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak. But he is strong.
In present day, Rena frowns.
You never told anyone what he did to you, your mom.
No, I didn't want to get in trouble. And I didn't want to upset anybody. And it's weird, but the thing that hurt more than anything was that he was my friend.
She closes her eyes tight and rests her face in her hand. Josie nods.
I trusted him.
Of course. And he exploited that trust. Sorry, you must have felt so alone.
Joel walks into the simple wooden church, where Ervil sits by the altar, alone.
Here for evening prayers?
Enough. Stop playing games. I made you my right hand, didn't I?
hoping that we could forge a righteous path together.
So it's the prophet here to give me another lashing.
Don't start. You gathered the faithful in this very room and mocked my leadership. Don't deny it.
Did you ever stop to think that maybe you are the one that's off the path and I am your trusty compass?
Joel scowls. He walks up to the altar and sits down beside Ervil.
I'm removing you from your office as patriarch. The congregation will be told in the morning. Verlin is taking over your duties.
Ervil shakes his head.
Verlin is a pussycat. You need a lion.
I'm sorry it has to be this way.
Ervil closes his eyes.
You know, I'm relieved. Heavenly Father's been calling me to a different path I just haven't had. Strength to answer him.
Ervil's with the Chenoweths, except Rena, in their kitchen.
As you know, we are starting a new church. And it is my hope that you will be joining the Church of the Lambs of God on the Lord's path to celestial glory.
But the core teachings?
Will remain the same. But we need to say goodbye to a few people here.
Well, we were sorry to hear about you and the prophet split. We've been thinking a lot about it. And we've also spoken to the prophet as well.
Well, my brother did not have the authority to remove me from a position that Heavenly Father had appointed.
Joel says that the office of the prophet is infallible.
I don't think any mortal man is infallible, do you?
Rena listens in the next room.
And your family chose to take Ervil's side in this war?
She nods.
Yes.
How long did it take for Ervil to start really preaching violence?
Right away. Ervil told us that the first step in securing God's kingdom was purifying it, and that false prophets had to be blood atoned. They had to be killed in order to be saved. Didn't matter who they were.
Josie shakes her head.
Even family.
Yeah, even family.
A white car pulls up in front of a small house. A man sits out front, drinking beer. There's a truck parked in the garage. Joel and a boy get out of the car.
Good afternoon. I spoke to Diego. He said my truck was just about ready.
Oh.
He went into town. But his man's over there finishing it up. Shouldn't be too long. Huh. Would you say you go give him a hand?
To the boy.
Okay.
Well, I guess that'd be all right.
Joel pats the boy on the shoulder. They go into the garage. The boy leans over the truck.
Can I get some water?
Yes, you know what? That'd be lovely. Thank you. Do you want to join us?
No, I'll stay.
Little boy.
The boy watches the engine as a mechanic works on it.
Take a seat.
Much appreciated.
Plastic drapes form a tent outside.
Beautiful day, isn't it?
Oh, heavenly. Just heavenly.
A red car pulls up in front of the house. A man in blue jeans gets out. The house's owner pours Joel some water.
Gracias, friend.
De nada. I'll be right back.
The boy peers at the engine. The church member who observed Joel and Ervil's argument strides into the yard.
Brother Dan. Good to see you.
Dan punches Joel. He lifts up a green metal chair and hits Joel repeatedly. Through the plastic tent, in silhouette, Dan lifts a gun. The boy looks up from the engine. He hesitates, then runs out of the workshop into the yard. He stands at the entrance to the tent.
Dad!
The boy's lip trembles as he looks into the tent. At a rural house, Dan opens the gate to let a car through, as a crowd watches.
With no one to stop him, Ervil brought us all to a place he called the Lambs of God. It was more like a boot camp than a church.
Thelma looks around a kitchen with wooden walls and an avocado green fridge.
7 years later, and Mom was still working to make a home for us.
She sets down a statue of a fish, which has a small calendar holder. It's March, 1974. Now a teenager, Rena stands outside, aiming a gun at a pile of logs. Several young adults, including Mark, are nearby. Ervil watches her shoot the logs.
Rule number one, do not piss off my sister.
Too late for that.
She and a bearded young man exchange smiles.
Now, you may feel nervous, but you must remember this is not an act of vengeance.
A dark-haired man nods.
This is an act of love and of God's mercy. Your hand is God's hand.
We are Heavenly Father's foot soldiers and must stay ready. At any moment, he may call on us.
Sir, yes, sir.
You're a good shot, Sparky, but your body betrays you.
Ervil takes her by the shoulders.
You need to relax.
He presses his cheek to her head.
It's all nice and easy. It's one thought, one motion.
Taking her arm.
Let me guide you. Nice and easy.
Rena raises the gun. She hits the center of a log.
You're a natural.
He pats her shoulder and walks away.
After Joel's blood atonement, Ervil thought Joel's flock would come rushing to his side, but that's not what happened. Only 20 of us followed. The only thing that happened was that Verlin, his younger brother, took Joel's place as leader of the church. Ervil was furious.
And everyone in your group, they just accepted Joel's death?
That's the thing. If you think you are the chosen people, if you believe you are right and everyone else is wrong, then...
She shrugs.
You can justify everything.
What about you?
She
scratches her head.
Well, I wasn't about to question God's will. I was just a 16-year-old girl. And I finally had a best friend. It was one of Ervil's daughters.
She stands by the door.
Rebecca.
The two girls sit outside.
Can you believe that Ervil lets Anime have a radio? And that's what I heard. Mark told me. He heard music, rock music, coming from her place.
A young man smiles at them.
Close your mouth. Ed's looking at you.
What should I do?
Wave to him. Come on. Come on.
No.
Rena grabs Rebecca's arm.
Go talk to him.
No, don't make me.
Come on.
He's looking at you.
Okay.
Rebecca gets up from the bench.
I had my first crush.
The bearded young man.
Dean Vest. He was a new convert to the church, and he'd done two tours in the army.
Hey, Dean.
Hey, Rena.
He's cleaning a gun.
Well, if you're just gonna stand there, come help.
She approaches his table.
What do you want me to do?
Well, those need to be cleaned. You want to open it first.
Bullets spill on the table.
Okay, then.
He smiles at her.
I thought he was the most fascinating man I've ever met.
A pony chases a horse in a corral. Rebecca and Ed, and Rena and Dean, walk in pairs along the corral.
Make a wish.
Rebecca blows on a stalk of grain.
What'd you wish for?
I think you already know. He's gonna say yes, I know it.
Who's gonna say yes to what?
They asked Ervil for permission to marry. Said he'd pray on it.
Rebecca holds Ed's hand.
Well, I better get home. Mama will worry.
Well, I'll walk you.
Rena and Dean give a little wave as they walk off, hand in hand. Rena walks off, too, leaving Dean at the corral. Later, they talk by a tree.
Tell me about Vietnam. What was it like?
It's not my favorite topic.
But he still wears these.
She holds his dog tags.
Yeah.
He pulls them back.
Because they remind me I'm alive.
He wears a brown woven top, and she has an embroidered blouse.
You know, living for months in the jungle, it did teach me some things. How to survive. How to be alone.
I'm not very good at being alone. Haven't had much practice. There's always so many people around.
So I like it here.
He looks around. They're in a landscape of dry brush and forested mountains.
Have you ever been in love, Rena?
Well, I don't know. Maybe a little.
I think you'd know.
He turns to face her directly.
You know, I was married once.
Rena nods.
Really, are you still married?
No.
I had no idea.
But that was before I met Prophet.
He shakes his head.
Before I found this righteous path. Everything's different, though. Heavenly Father has another plan for me.
He does.
They look at each other face to face.
I'm glad you joined us.
Yeah, me too.
He brushes her hair back from her forehead. Her mouth opens a little.
What?
I thought maybe you were gonna kiss me or something.
Well, I'd like to. Believe me, but I don't know if that's allowed.
Could be if you agreed. I mean, if that's what you want.
Rena joins her mother and sister in the kitchen.
Where were you? You started walking with Dean.
Sister Rebecca was with us, too.
Rena, you know better. The Prophet is in charge of all unions.
Maybe you could talk to him for me.
Absolutely not. He is a very busy man and has a lot on his plate. I won't bother him with such foolishness.
It's not foolishness, Mama. You haven't even gotten to know him yet. Dean is such a neat guy.
Lorna smirks.
Neat? You think he's neat?
Yes. And I think I love him, too.
What do you know about love?
You are playing with fire, Rena.
You know all about that.
Thelma recoils.
What does that mean?
I see the way you look at him. Ever since the first day?
Get out of here! Go! Get out! Get out now!
As Rena leaves, Thelma furiously folds a towel. Lorna purses her lips and takes a step closer to her mother. Rena and another woman hang laundry on a line.
I feel like myself, you know? I'm in love, Vonda. We want to get married. It feels right.
Feelings aren't the most trustworthy things.
Come on, Vonda, I need you. Please don't treat me like a child.
It's just that your desires can't come before Heavenly Father's. He has the final say.
I know.
Peering through the clothesline.
Could you talk to Ervil for me?
You are one of his wives.
He respects you, and I think he'd really consider it if he heard it from you.
You sure you want me to do that?
I'm sure. I know it'll work out. I think it's what Heavenly Father wants.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Vonda stares at an article of clothing. Later, Rena's leaning against a fence inside a barn. Dean comes up on the fence's other side.
What's going on?
Sister Vonda's gonna talk to Ervil for us. Why would Heavenly Father make us feel this way for one another if he didn't think it was right? Then we can get married.
Dean moves back a little.
If that's what you want, too.
He raises his eyebrows.
Then, Chenoweth, did you just propose to me?
I don't know.
I don't think I'd mind that one bit.
They both smile. She leans over the fence to give him a kiss. He caresses the back of her head. Rena enters the kitchen.
Mama, I know you're worried, but it's gonna work. It's gonna work. Dean and I are in love. Vonda's gonna help with...
Is that right?
In a dining area, Ervil and Thelma sit at a table.
So you think you're in love, Sparky?
Please don't call me that.
No, you're right. Probably past that now. I can't be calling my wife silly nicknames.
Rena's lip trembles.
What?
Thelma watches her.
My wife, Rena. Heavenly Father revealed it a long time ago that we are to enter into the sacred union as husband and wife.
He turns to smile at her.
Sealed together for eternity.
You knew about this?
Thelma bites her lip.
He has 12 wives already.
Ervil lowers his head.
No. No, Heavenly Father wants me to be with Dean. We're in love.
Oh, there's nothing to get upset about, Rena. This is a great blessing.
No, I'm not going to marry you.
Rena.
No, I'm not going to marry him. I'm not going to do it.
Rena.
No.
Heavenly Father has chosen this union.
He fixes his gaze on her.
And he will not forsake his word.
She stares at him with her mouth open. She runs out of the building, past a patio space with a table and a hammock, and finds another woman sitting next to a large tree. The sun gives a low light over the mountains.
Delphina, have you seen Becky? I need to talk to her.
She's gone. Herbal sent her to San Diego.
What? Why?
Chuck wanted another wife, and I tried to stop it.
This is my fault.
No, no, mi amor.
No, he's punishing.
It's not your fault.
He's punishing me. That's why he sent her away.
Everything is going to be okay.
This is my fault.
Delphina pulls her into a tight hug.
This is my fault.
In the present day, Rena walks across her porch and leans on the wooden railing. Ervil addresses the church members around a table in the patio space.
As we move closer to God, we become more like him.
Lorna nods.
Now, my brother Verlin cannot be allowed to poison the people of Zion any longer. I love my brother. And I want God's will for him. Brother Dan, Brother Ed, Heavenly Father has chosen you for this sacred mission, as he has you, Brother Mark.
Mark opens and closes his mouth. Lorna smiles.
Thank you, sir.
Rena flexes her fingers.
And Rena? Where's my Rena?
She stands to the side, wearing a woven poncho.
Yes.
Rena, you will drive and serve as lookout and take young Isaac with you.
Go on over there, boy.
Dean stops the boy.
Brother Ervil, you can't send a child and a girl on this mission.
I can't?
I mean, just from a practical standpoint, if something goes wrong, the boy can't drive, and Rena, she's...
Rena's what?
She's a teenage girl.
Ervil gets up from the table, puts his arm around Rena, and leads her toward Dean.
Well, Rena, are you a teenage girl? Or are you a trained warrior in God's army, chosen by Heavenly Father? Which is it?
Dean watches her closely.
A warrior?
Warrior. And you serve him with honor.
Ervil smiles. Rena nods slightly.
Unless that is, you know better for Rena than Heavenly Father himself.
Dean's jaw twitches. He looks away, then shakes his head.
No.
Ervil is still holding on to Rena. He places his other hand on Dean's shoulder, taps them both, then moves away.
Now let us pray for our warriors. Sister Lorna, would you do the honors?
I'd be happy to.
Someone places bottles, stuffed with fabric, into the trunk of a car. Rena stands on her porch, near a dream catcher, tearing an object apart in her hands. Josie approaches her.
Why did he choose you?
Rena looks at Josie, then down at her hands.
To claim me. I think also to plant the seed that God had a specific plan for me, and that plan included violence.
He wanted to desensitize you.
She tilts her head.
Me and everyone else. You know, it was how he kept us in line and marching in the same direction.
A car parks near a small house.
Ervil knew Verlin would be visiting one of his wives in Los Molinos. So we knew if we drew him out, he'd be an easy target.
Dan talks to Rena.
Okay, back there is the only road in. If you see anything, lay on that horn. You start the engine and we'll be back in a second.
Someone takes bottles from the back.
Hey, stay in the car. You understand?
Yes.
To Isaac.
Hey, understand?
Stay in the car.
Yeah, okay, good boy.
Mark?
He's by the house, armed.
What if something happens to you?
Oh, Heavenly Father will protect us.
Ed leans over.
Don't worry about your brother. If Heavenly Father takes his eye off the ball for 1 second, I got his back.
You promise?
I do.
Mark, Ed, and Dan cover their faces with blindfolds. The men turn a corner around the house.
Will God be angry at me for being scared?
He's with Rena in the front seat.
No. It's okay. Doing the right thing isn't always easy.
He's breathing rapidly.
We have to defend the kingdom of God.
She nods.
Right?
He nods, too. A red picnic table stands next to the trailer. Someone throws a bottle onto it. The table catches fire. Ed, Mark, and Dan run forward, holding more bottles. Two men rush out from behind the house. A woman, wearing a long poncho, runs out the front with another man. A dark-haired man tries to put out the fire with a blanket. The man drops. His blanket falls on a truck nearby. Rena and Isaac stare. Dan shoots a man on the ground. Dan turns his back on the house, keeping his gun trained on the remaining people. He, Mark, and Ed return to the car.
He's not in here. Berlin's not even here.
Get in the car. We're going now.
Dan gets into the driver's seat. A statue of the Virgin Mary stands against the flames. Later, Rena sits alone in the kitchen, wearing her woven poncho. Thelma comes in, wearing a quilted housecoat. She wraps a blanket around Rena's shoulders and hugs her tight. Rena begins to sob. Thelma rests her chin on Rena's head. Rena clutches her mother's arms.
After the raid, things were really starting to fall apart.
You guys are liars!
Naomi, wait!
Liars!
Naomi!
No. Please.
Naomi.
Please, 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 please.
Rena watches.
Come back inside.
No! I don't want to be here no more! They shot that girl like a dog! That's not God's work, it's the devil's!
Sister Naomi, let's just go back inside.
No! I don't care who hears!
Naomi, maybe I'll go to the police, huh?
What?
Levy, Naomi, stop, please. Wait.
Vonda crosses her arms.
When Dad's new wife, Naomi, went off the rails, Ervil's response was swift.
A white car stops near a country fence. Naomi gets out of the passenger seat. She looks out ahead of her.
When does the bus come?
A figure approaches her, their hands lifted high. Rena finds three women in the living quarters.
What's going on? Who's crying?
It's Naomi's son, Saul.
Thelma's in a room down the hall.
Sweetie, Saul, listen to me. Your mommy's not coming back. But it's gonna be okay. I'm gonna be your mommy now.
Rena turns to Vonda.
Shh, it's okay, sweetie.
She wanted to go. And so she went on a drive. Heavenly Father had other things for her.
No.
He wanted to save her soul.
Rena shakes her head.
No, not Naomi. She wouldn't have gone to the police.
Vonda nods.
Who did it? Who atoned her?
Vonda purses her lips. In flashback, she approaches Naomi with her gun raised. She puts the gun in her pocket and turns back to the car.
But you were friends.
That's why I had to do it. We saved her soul, Sister Rena.
She holds Rena's face.
We saved her. And now we can meet again in the eternal days.
She gives Rena a long hug.
We saved her soul, Sister Rena.
Through the door, Rena sees a smiling Thelma reaching out to Saul.
She was one of us. She wasn't an outsider, and her atonement wasn't a secret. He wanted us to know.
And that scared you?
Yeah, and it was meant to. He was sending a message. If you step out of line, it doesn't matter who you are, you'll be next. You know, unless you do exactly what is asked of you.
Turning to Josie, she sees a young Ervil leaning against the wall. A moment later, Ervil's gone.
And what was that? It was like...
She gestures.
It was like a cliff. It was like a cliff. And he just...
She pushes with her hand. Dan enters the living quarters.
Rena! Rena!
Dan, she's still asleep.
I'm looking for Sister Rena.
Please.
Rena!
Rena!
Rena steps out of the room, wearing a patterned nightgown.
Brother Ervil wants to see you.
Now?
Get dressed.
Dan walks down the hall, past Thelma. Rena gives her mother an exasperated wave, shaking her head. She heads back into the room. An orange car pulls up at Ervil's office.
Come in.
Dan and Rena are in a cluttered room, where Ervil's at his desk.
Finishing up a pamphlet for a group out of Utah. Another false prophet, perverting the word of God. Rena.
He looks up from his work.
I've received the most wonderful message. Heavenly Father has called on us to be married. Today.
Rena shakes her head.
No.
She looks to Dan, who nods.
He has grown impatient, Rena, and so have I.
Rena's mouth hangs open. She walks away.
No, I'm not kidding. No.
Hey!
Dan.
Dan stops at the door.
She's a smart girl. She'll be back.
He frowns at his typewriter. Rena sits outside by a clothesline.
I thought if I could ignore this day that it would somehow go away. I was 16 when Ervil finally ran out of patience. He was 50.
Sitting in a plastic chair, she closes her eyes. It's a bright and sunny day. She breathes deeply. Dan stands before Rena and Ervil, who are kneeling.
Brother Ervil, Sister Rena, please hold hands in the sign of the patriarchal grip.
Her hand flicks as they touch. A young Rena first meets Ervil and reacts to the static. At the wedding, Ervil grips her hand tight.
Brother Ervil, in the presence of God, angels, and this witness, do you take Sister Rena by the right hand and receive her unto yourself to be your lawful and wedded wife for time and all eternity in the new and everlasting covenant?
I do.
Sister Rena, do you take Brother Ervil by the right hand and give yourself to him to be his wife? Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule thee in righteousness for time and all eternity in the new and everlasting covenant.
Rena looks straight ahead of her. Her head is trembling. She nods slightly.
Yes.
By virtue of the holy priesthood and the authority vested in me, I pronounce you husband and wife for all time and all eternity.
Rena looks down.
Amen.
A tear falls from her eye.
Amen.
Her face trembles. In a small room, Rena eats fried onion rings while Ervil sits on the bed.
It is our wedding night, you know.
She nods and waves an onion ring.
Almost done.
She smiles. He takes off his watch and places it to the side. Later, as Ervil watches, Rena gets into the bed. It's underneath a patched window. She wears a yellow t-shirt.
You're so beautiful. And you make God so happy.
Rena pulls the covers up and lies back.
Our bodies are made for this.
He removes his striped shirt.
Made to give and feel pleasure in so many sweet ways. It's life. Veil of pain and trouble.
He holds his pants up in front of him.
And Heavenly Father has seen to it that we always have this as a way of expressing his love for each other.
The corner of her mouth turns up a little. Ervil approaches the bed. She looks at him with wide eyes. He crawls into the bed next to her. A cowboy marionette hangs from the ceiling beam. In the morning, she lies asleep on the red sheets. The bed jiggles. She looks up at the marionette, then notices Dan at the end of the bed. He makes a gun gesture.
What are you doing here?
Get up. We're moving.
Dan leaves her in the room.
Things were getting dangerous for us, so Ervil wanted to get out of Mexico.
He told us that God had given him a message, and that we should all move to Denver and open an appliance shop.
Appliances.
that you could fix them for cheap and make a quick buck, and Ervil knew that.
And we needed a way to make money.
Rena and Mark carry a mattress. Thelma, Lorna, and Vonda arrive at the house.
So he told Dad and his new wife they should stay back and hold things down in Mexico, but most everybody else came out.
Thelma hugs Rena in the driveway.
My baby girl, married woman. Now,
in the living room.
I want you to tell me everything.
Oh, there's not much to tell.
Do you have any questions about it?
No.
Okay. Don't be shy.
I'm not shy.
Don't be shy, Rena.
I'm not.
It's okay to talk to your sister wives about sex.
Okay. Okay.
It's important to keep your priesthood holder happy.
I know.
And it could be a lot of fun, too.
Just a barrel of monkeys.
Maybe Rena doesn't need advice. She is an expert on love. Isn't that right, Rena?
Lorna waves a folder at her.
I'll always be his favorite. Just remember that.
Okay. February 1977. Dan and Mark arrive. Mark's hands and shirt are bloody. Mark slumps into a seat at the kitchen table. Dan stands at the kitchen sink.
What's going on? Are you okay? Mark?
You take care of him? He won't be spouting his abominations no more.
Dan hands Ervil a wallet. Ervil examines it and hands it to Rena.
Burn it. Burn it.
The other church leaders didn't agree with Ervil's plans, so they were atoned too.
Oh, Heavenly Father will bestow you boys with many blessings for ridding his kingdom of this false prophet.
Dan shakes his head. He glances at Mark. Ervil walks over to Mark, who is bent over weeping.
Brother Mark.
Ervil crouches down.
You are a warrior. And that's no easy thing, but do you think it was easy for the Israelites to slay the Canaanites? For them to kill their children, as God commanded?
Mark's lip trembles.
No.
Mark shakes his head.
But they delivered their people to the Promised Land.
A tear falls from Rena's eye.
Victory has a price.
Mark bites his lip and nods. Ervil stands. He turns to Rena.
Rena, join me in the bedroom.
Right now?
Spirit has moved me.
She glances from side to side, finally looking at Dan. Slowly, she steps out of the kitchen as Dan watches her. She passes through a beaded curtain. April, 1977. Later, Ervil writes in bed as Rena lies beside him. Dan comes in.
Mark said you want to see me first thing.
Ervil stands. Rena pulls the covers higher.
I need you to drive down to San Diego. I'll be on standby in case we need to bail out Sister Vonda.
He takes a wad of cash from the top of the dresser.
Are you calling? You have an update?
Yep.
Dan leaves. Rena gets out of bed.
Vonda's in jail?
Not yet. I'm just questioning her.
For what? What's going on?
Ervil looks at her, frowns, then turns his attention to the box on top of the dresser. He throws a small metal object to Rena. It's Dean's dog tags, stained with blood.
Why do you have this? No, why? You can't. That's wrong. That's wrong. You can't do that.
She holds her injured cheek.
That was my hand you felt.
Holding her chin, he turns her face back to him. Her nose is bloody.
The hand of God will not be so forgiving.
He holds onto her chin for a moment, then turns to leave. She's left alone in the bedroom, wearing her yellow baby doll pajamas. Carrying a laundry basket, Lorna comes into the room.
Here.
She holds out a red towel.
Through your nose, it's bleeding.
Rena touches the blood with her thumb. She presses the towel to her nose.
He was gonna defect, Rena. He was going back to his ex-wife.
I don't care.
He would have betrayed us.
You don't know what you're talking about.
No. You're the one that doesn't know.
Lorna holds on to the foot of the bed.
You had a crush on a guy when you were a kid, and you think that means you knew him? Go ahead. Waste your tears. Dean was a traitor, and you know what? I'm glad he's dead.
Rena gets up from the bed and rushes past Lorna, out of the bedroom. Thelma fries eggs in the kitchen. Rena arrives.
Morning. You want some?
I couldn't.
Rena sits down cautiously. Thelma turns away from the stove.
You all right?
Something's wrong with me lately. I can't seem to keep anything down. I feel tired all the time.
Honey, there is nothing wrong with you.
Thelma joins her at the kitchen table. She looks downward at Rena.
No. Yes. No. No, I'm not pregnant.
It is the most natural thing in the world.
No, please. Please, no.
Rena holds a hand to her forehead.
What if it's a girl?
Then she'll be beautiful.
Rena covers her mouth and shakes her head.
How will I protect her?
Thelma opens her mouth and sits up a little straighter.
Get in the car and you go home to your husband. You have no right to ask that question.
In the yard, Rena and Thelma find Rebecca arguing with Dan. The young women hug.
Let me deal with this, please.
They won't let me see my dad, and I need to see him.
She needs to talk to her husband first before she even thinks about coming here to see her dad.
They took my baby from me, Rena. They took my baby, Chuck and Val. They won't let me see him.
Rebecca, you need to calm down.
No, you calm down, please.
Calm down right now.
I just want to take my baby to Mexico. I just want to let him be my mom in Mexico, please. No, no, because if I stay, she's going to take this new baby from me, too.
New baby, are you?
Rebecca nods.
And I will do whatever it takes to get him back. I don't care anymore. I'm in
another. You need to go home, Sister Rebecca. I'm sure Chuck is worried about you.
He's never given me a second thought.
I don't like to hear that kind of talk.
Now you go home and you behave. Go home.
Rena lays a hand on Rebecca's shoulder.
Promise me, please. Please promise me you'll tell my dad I need to talk to him. Please.
I will. If you leave and go home to your husband right now.
You should go.
No.
Rebecca's baby was taken by one of her sister wives. She thought if she could just get her father, Ervil, involved, that he could make it right.
Outside, Rena leans against a wall.
How did you feel when you found out you were pregnant?
In the present, they're on Rena S. porch.
Do you have kids, Miss Ortiz?
No. No time.
I'd felt so alone for so long, but now there was this little person growing inside of me. Like, suddenly I'd found a part of myself.
But you were only 19. You were a teenager.
Yeah, but some of Ervil's other wives had 3 kids by the time they were my age. And even though I was confused and young and not ready, I knew I would love this baby. Oh, I would love this baby. Even he couldn't ruin that.
She bites her lip. Young Rena sits on the couch, flipping through a magazine. She wears a striped sweater. She pauses on an ad with a smiling family having dinner. Thelma brings a bag of groceries to the counter.
Well, it's expired, but...
She sniffs the milk.
It smells okay.
If Ervil were to give us money, we wouldn't have to dig in garbage.
Well, maybe you should apologize to him.
She unloads carrots.
For what?
I've seen how you two have been carrying on. After talking back to him and all.
Mama, you know how he can get.
I know. He's a prophet, yes, but he's also just a man. And nobody is perfect. And you are my spirited little girl. You always have been. Brilliant and stubborn. But as a wife, it's your duty to
submit to the authority of my priesthood holder.
Thelma gives a reproachful look. Rebecca walks into the room with a tote bag and a suitcase.
Becky, you're here.
Dad agreed to let me take Charlie down to Mexico to stay with Mom until the baby comes.
That's great.
What a blessing.
I know.
Oh. They hug.
You'll never guess.
You're pregnant too? Oh my goodness. Congratulations, Rena. Charlie is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Oh. She hands Thelma a photo. Thelma looks at the photo, then hands it back to Rebecca.
You give him a squeeze for me too, sweet girl.
I will.
Rena and Rebecca look at Charlie's photo.
Isn't he so cute? And you're gonna be a mommy too now.
Rena escorts Rebecca to the car outside.
Wish we had a little time together. I know, me too.
Ed and another man are waiting. Rebecca holds out her bag.
Thank you.
The women hug.
I love you so much. I love you too, Rena. God be with you. You keep in touch now.
Right this way, my lady.
I should go. A true gentleman.
You always have been, Ed.
Ed guides Rebecca to the passenger seat. The other man sits in the back. Rebecca blows on the window. She draws a heart in the mist. Rena wiggles her fingers as she watches them leave. The green station wagon pulls away. Rena turns back to the house. At night, she sleeps on a floral pillow.
That was my daughter.
Rena wakes up.
My daughter's mess.
She looks out the window at Ervil and Dan.
They must open a sign in the window saying, well, you know, this is the place.
How could you bring this here? Look at that tires. You got half the dirt back from Wyoming.
Ervil, keep your voice down.
What a mess. Look in the back seat. We've got blood in the back seat.
Shh. The whole neighborhood's
Ed.
Outside, Ed's crouched by a wall. She moves closer to him.
So they know what to think. They know what to do. So we're not making mistakes like this.
Okay.
I didn't know what he was going to do. I swear, Rena, I swear. He just told me to drive, and I just did.
I know.
Ed is shaking.
Becky's gone. She's gone.
Rena nods.
We loved her. And now God will welcome her with open arms.
He will. She's redeemed. Her and her unborn baby. That's how this works, right?
She nods again.
You will. You will.
Why didn't you leave? You were pregnant. Why didn't you run?
Do you really think it was that simple?
They're on the porch.
Maybe an outsider just can't understand.
She moves to a bench.
Maybe, but I'm trying.
People will judge us. But Ervil and the church, it's all we'd ever known. You can't just walk away. It clouded our vision, our thoughts. It was like trying to see through the smoke when your house is on fire.
And that scared you?
Oh, I was terrified. Have you even read that? But there was no...
The Covenant.
Black and white. There was no door. There was no exit route. I mean, if he'd kill his own pregnant daughter, then no one was safe.
Heavenly Father has revealed a great prophecy to us.
They're at the Colorado House.
In time, times, and of half a time, the one true word of God, our church, will win the war over evil.
He addresses the church by the living room fireplace.
And he has given me an exact date.
He smiles at the others.
April 3rd, 1979. All apostate churches will bow down to our supreme authority, including the LDS Church.
Lorna grins.
Our golden age starts right now.
Ervil stands from the edge of the fireplace.
And he has revealed our first mission. There is a dangerous apostate who must be atoned. Whom many of you know.
Mark closes his eyes.
Rulon Allred.
leader of the Apostolic Brethren.
Ed sits with Thelma.
He denies the legitimacy of our church, of my priesthood, and he spreads lies about us. Heavenly Father commands that his oppression end. And he has called upon two women.
Lorna looks down.
Vessels of creation and strength to carry out this most holy of missions. He has called upon Sister Ramona.
He pats Dan's shoulder.
Now, Brother Dan has her husband. Will she heed this call?
She'd be honored, Prophet.
Ervil clutches his fist to his chest. He looks up at the group, smiling.
And the other elected lady he has called.
He closes his eyes, looking down.
Is my wife.
Lorna shifts in her chair.
Sister Rena.
Rena frowns slightly. Lorna looks downward.
I don't think I'm worthy.
There is no more worthy of a woman here than you.
Taking her by the shoulders, he turns her to face him.
Heavenly Father smiles on you.
She smiles a little.
He always has. You are his chosen child. He shines his light on you. I see it. Do you all see?
Amen.
Mark swallows.
Amen.
We all see it. You will bring us great glory.
He presses his forehead to hers, then walks out of the room. Vonda gets up and hugs Rena.
Oh, what would you do to please God?
Rena looks out from her porch.
What do you mean?
Okay, what would you do to save your life? To save the life of your unborn baby? It's nice to think that there's this clean line that you would never cross, but the truth is, you just don't know. You don't know unless it's...
Touching her chest.
Happened to you.
She leans over and buries her face in a pillow.
Would they have killed you if you'd refused?
She turns to look at Josie.
I know they would have.
Tell me about that day.
Rena's leaning on the pillow. She taps it.
There were two missions. Ramona and I would go to Rulon Allred's medical practice and atone him. Then the men would stay behind, go to Rulon's funeral, and shoot Verlin when he showed up.
Rulon was just the bait. The real target was Verlin.
Go on, pick the one you want.
In a motel room, Dan displays guns on the bed.
Did you come up with names?
Patty Sanders.
Ramona.
Emma Black.
Yeah, we'll practice them. They're important.
This is the best that I could find.
A wig and clothes.
Another pair of pants? Why
yeah,
would we
that's the point.
At first, it just seemed like this game, you know, it was guns and code names and disguises.
You look demented.
Ed tries a wig.
Suddenly, it got very real, very fast.
Right. We set out pretty quick. Ladies, you'll be in a truck that can't be traced. Ed and I will be in the station wagon nearby if you need help.
We won't.
You boys wiped down those weapons yet? Arturo, why don't you drill the serial numbers off those guns?
Of course, Father.
Rena's visibly pregnant.
Girls, come here.
Erlin shows them a square of newspaper.
This is Rulon.
He unfolds a map.
And here is his medical practice. You park in the back, and this road here is a straight shot out to the highway.
What if he's not there?
Are you doubting God's wisdom?
Rena opens her mouth.
He will be. We made an appointment. So take this, study this, memorize it. It could be the difference between damnation and salvation. Go on.
They join hands in the parking lot.
New and everlasting covenant, let us prove to be worthy of this most holy mission.
Rena tries on a wig.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.
Amen.
Dan helps Ramona load a gun. Rena caresses her belly.
God has blessed this day.
Ed touches Rena's belly.
But know if you fail in your duty, you will be cursed.
Ed and Rena look at each other. Dan drops a gun on the bed.
And you will be struck from the face of this earth. And I will grieve you.
Dan, Ed, Rena, and Ramona leave the motel room. The women wear blonde wigs and hats as disguises.
Amen.
The group disperses. Ervil comes up to Rena.
Rena.
He takes her arm and strokes her hair.
You are an angel of mercy. And will live in glory forever. God made you for this moment.
He closes his eyes tightly. They stand forehead to forehead. He presses her to him, kisses her forehead, then leaves.
This next part, it's hard to talk about. I don't know if I can.
Take your time.
I just like one day, one second where he's not in my head. And I hate myself so much. And I hate him for turning me into him. Something unspeakable.
She twists a bracelet on her wrist.
I allowed him to do that.
I understand, but silence, that's what gives abusers their power. This is your story, not his.
Rena rolls the bracelet back on. A red car pulls up to Rulon Allred's medical practice. It passes slowly through the parking lot. Ramona's in the passenger seat.
That morning I was so frightened. I was split in two. I couldn't think. I couldn't breathe.
Is that it?
From the driver's seat, Rena looks at the building.
That's it.
The young women stay seated in the front seat. They both have their blonde wigs. Rena fumbles in the pocket of her dingy blue and red jacket. She licks her lip and nods.
Are you ready? Ramona.
Ramona slowly turns her head and nods.
Yeah.
Go in first, you follow.
Rena rocks in her seat.
God will be with us. We are his angels of mercy.
The women walk along the stone building to the entrance. They both wear sunglasses and hats, along with the wigs. The medical practice has a logo of a gold trumpeter. They enter the waiting room.
Mr. Sue just needs to know. Well, let me know which time is best for you. Okay. No problem. Hold the line, please. Hi, can I help you?
A gray-haired doctor smiles at them.
Ma'am?
Rena opens her mouth to speak.
I have an appointment.
Name, please?
Hattie Sanders.
The receptionist leans over her desk.
Okay, you are a little bit early, so please have a seat.
Okay.
Ramona shakes her head. She steps back.
I'm sorry?
Rena slowly turns back to the receptionist, who stares at her. The receptionist holds the phone. Rena walks past the desk to the exam rooms.
Oh, ma'am, you can't go back there. You need to wait.
Oh, listen, can I
call
you back?
Rena looks at family pictures in the hallway. Allred is with his wife and five kids in a professional photo. Slowly, she proceeds down the hallway. Her floppy pink hat and large glasses obscure her face. From the doorway, Ramona watches her. Rena abruptly stops.
Tracy, I can't find the Stevenson file.
Allred smiles at her.
You're not Tracy. The bathroom's right across the hall.
Rena stands at the doorway of the file room. She pulls out her gun. From inside the room, Allred notices.
Yes. Please, you don't need to do this.
In the waiting room, Ramona takes out her gun.
I can give you money. I can do whatever you want to do. Please.
Rena imagines Ervil standing at her back. Ervil leans in close. He guides her arm to raise the gun. Slowly, she raises her arm, smiling at the mirror.
Did you do it? Did you shoot him?
Rena puts a hand to her forehead. Credits. Described video provided by One Extra. Produced by Darren Robson. written by Amory Hess. Directed by Michael Nankeen. Starring Felicity Huffman, Olga Petza, Eric Johnson, Michelle Harrison, Jonathan Whitesell, and Thomas Elms. More credits follow. In loving memory of Jennifer Darbelay. Copyright 2025, 13th Wife Productions, Inc. Logos, BKTV, Brad Cravoy Television. Lifetime.